put the tefillah together. In order to put the tefillah together, to put a prayer together, we have to understand the ingredients that make up a tefillah. So we've been talking a great deal about dibur, about speech. And last week we spoke about kol, about the sound that is beneath this speech. That connection from the depths of one's most basic self, like the call of a child. Or the Svarim talk about the sounds, the screams that a woman usually makes when she's giving birth to a child. You know, unless they knock you out or something. But otherwise, the screams, the shivim kolim, that according to, this is itself a very, very involved teaching, but according to the tradition that there are 70 screams that a woman makes when she's having a child. Now you make a cheshbon, there's only 64, so it's 82. The shivim kolim, that's why it's a very important thing to try to say lam neser yancha Hashem b'yom tzar, that capital tilim that has 70 words for the 70 screams. It's a very beginning in Kabbalah. But the same thing, that most basic call of the self. So when the child is being born, there's that call, that like scream that goes from one end of the world to the other. We've been talking about the sound, that the Zohar identifies the sound as the general underlying essence of the person, the need, and the dibur is already specific, specified words. So now we have to spend one time on osios, on the letters, on the subject of letters. We'll talk about it next time. We'll talk about vowels. But the osios, the letters, is a subject. It's a huge subject. I think, I don't know if any of you were there a few years ago. I tried during the summer. Oh, here we have one former student. That a couple of summers ago, you remember this in the Israel of Cedarhurst, so I had a class there on the letters. So, a student, a dropout, chas v'shalom. So we got through that summer. We didn't finish the Aleph that summer. And we did it for around a year, so we were up to the middle of Hay. So there's a lot to talk about the letters. So what the letters are. So tonight, really, just for the purpose of understanding the mahalach of where we're going with all of this, to come to a tefillah, and to answer the question that we began with, well, first of all, the question of the Maharal, why do we have to speak at all when we daven? Why do we have to speak? Hashem knows what's in the heart. That's an important question. And besides that, what seems to be a contradiction in sources between the importance of davening out loud and screaming and yelling, really putting your heart and soul into the davening, the kol. On the other hand, the obvious value of silent prayer and the exaltedness of the silent Shema Esrei. So we have a problem understanding sound, how much sound, what kind of sound to make when davening, the difference between these levels of tefillah. So we have to spend one time talking about the letters, about the OTO, about the ICs. It's very hard to be mitzamsem in this subject because, I don't know, for some reason I feel very much of a connection to it and I have a need to talk much more about it than I'll be able to. So really, really an oversimplified hakdama, introduction to the subject of letters, that I'm just touching upon, just touching upon, so that we can understand the relationship between kol and dibur, because the letters are obviously standing between a voice and words. The letters, right? We don't think of it like that, because we never, when we speak, when children speak, when they're just beginning to speak, they go one letter at a time, or a syllable at a time. We're so used to words that we've forgotten about letters, except I, of course, the capital I. Otherwise, words consist of more than one letter. Most words consist of more than one letter. We don't think of letters anymore. We'll mention later on, we'll talk about a little bit how this is a very, very amazing way to daven. That is the way of the Kabbalists, of the Mekubalim, to actually daven while picturing one letter at a time. To daven one letter at a time. So we don't think of the letters anymore. Obviously, the letters act as a transition between sound and words. That's what the letters are, right? Because you don't have a word. The word is built of letters. The sound is poured into letters. Together they form words. So in order to understand the relationship between a kol, a voice, and dibur, and words, and how this all comes together in tefillah, and how loud should our tefillahs be, or how quiet should they be, we have to understand the nature of about the subject of the ICS of the letters. So now that I've wasted already 5 minutes on talking about how it's hard to talk about, let's talk about it. It says in the Gemara, We'll be able to go to like 5 to 9 from now on. So have a little bit longer. That Bezalel, who's a very big, who's very prominent in these parashas that we're now up to, right? Parashas Truma. That Bezalel, who was the designer, or the craftsman, actually, of the Mishkan. So Chazal say regarding this amazing person Bezalel, who we know very little about, that he knew how to join together the letters from which heaven and earth were created. He knew how to join together the letters. And he's called the one of the wise heart. And even in the dispute that Moshe Rabbeinu had with him in this week's parasha, about how the Mishkan, what's the order of the building of the Mishkan, should the structure first be made and then the kelim and then the vessels and utensils be built, or the opposite. So Moshe Rabbeinu conceded to Bezalel, and he told him, well, you know, because Bezalel Kel, you are in the shadow of God. You yourself are a human being that comes from the shadow of Hashem. So it says regarding Bezalel that his greatness was in the fact that he knew how to take the letters of creation, the osius of the olive base, osius shenivu behen shamayim varis, the very same letters with which heaven and earth were created, and he knew how to connect one to the other, to build the Mishkan. Since everybody knows, it's really Bashert that it's this week, since everybody knows that the Mishkan was a microcosm of the entire world, that's what the Mishkan is, a microcosm of the world, that's why it consisted of all the different dimensions of physical reality, the domain tzomeach, chayim, medaber, there are four realms of reality, the inanimate, plants, animals, and a human being. Right? Those are the four realms of existence. So therefore, in the Mishkan, you had all these, you had the wood of the beams from the, you had the gold and silver from the inanimate. And you had, of course, animals for the sacrifice and for the skins that made up the ceiling, the urios. And you also had the human being who's the makriv, the one who's bringing the sacrifice. So all of reality has to be drawn into the Mishkan. So the Mishkan itself is a microcosm of the world. So in order for Bezalel to construct the Mishkan, he had to know the letters of creation. That's what Chazal revealed to us in the Gemara in Brachas Daf Nunhei, that Bezalel knew the letters of creation. What does that mean? So the Nefesh HaChaim says about letters, about Isis. The Nefesh HaChaim says about letters. That letters, Oisiyas Hayim Bechinas Maisa. That letters mean Maisa. Maisa means physical action. Letters mean the physical world. Now we have to understand that. That letters mean Maisa. For our purposes here, the meaning of that Oisiyas means is the Bechinas Maisa, is the Reb Chaim Reis, the Nefesh Chaim. The Sefer Yetzirah, the book of formation, Avraham Avinu is the author of that. The Sefer Yetzirah calls letters stones. Letters are called stones. Oisius, letters are called avonim. That's why the word Evan itself is in the order of Aleph Beis. Why there's a nun is a very big discussion, but Evan is Aleph Beis. It means Av and Bain, a father and a child. The letters are called stones. And the words are buildings. The meaning of that is, when it says in the Chazal, Istaka Kutchabicha Baraisu Bara Alma, that Hashem gazed into the Torah and He created the world. The deeper meaning of this is that the letters of the Torah, the letters of the Aleph Beis, the letters of the Torah themselves, are the avonim, or the stones with which all of reality is constructed. All of the entire universe is built of letters, of stones. That's why in the past I've mentioned to you that before the Baal HaTanya passed away, we know from the conversation that he had with his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, he wasn't even able to see physical reality anymore. All he was able to see were the letters of creation. In other words, he would look at a shulchan and he would see only the letters Shin Lamed Ches Nun. It's impossible for us to understand what that means. He would see only the letters. Once physical reality was stripped of its outer coarse garments, he was able to see the ruach, the inner, deeper reality, which are the oasis of the Aleph Beis. Therefore, the Zohar, therefore the Yetzirah calls calls letters stones. The meaning of that is that stones are used to build things. The transition from non-being into being took place through letters. That the world was created with letters means that the transition, now this is the key point for tonight, that whenever there's a transition from non-physical existence into physical existence, remember we had last week Kol. Kol is like underneath the physical world. It's not yet anything which is the voice, the sound, the scream is not anything that's articulate. It's not really part of the world yet. A voice is almost in the world. It's only when the letters begin to form do you have actually something that's like the Nevi'im calls Maaseh. You have something real. Because the letters are the beginning of physical reality. A scream is still before physical reality. It's when the baby is being born that the mother is screaming. After the baby is born, then the baby begins to scream and the mother gets a mazel tov. But the screaming of creation is the moment before creation. Do you understand this? The scream is before, right before there's something physical, right before the baby is born. The letters are the transition from non-physical existence into physical existence. Therefore, we were taught by the tzaddikim that the word os, alevav saf, ot, is the same as the word asa. Aleph, Saf, Aleph, which I explained here last Shabbos. We had a long talk about this. Asa, Aleph, Saf, Aleph, which in Aramaic means what? You say it every Pesach. Maybe by that time you already knocked out. Vasa, Shunra, V'achal, Lagadya. Vasa means when something arrives. In Aramaic, Ata, Aleph, Taf, Aleph, means when something is brought in, something arrives. So we understand that the reason that letters are called osios, from the word asa, like it says in the Torah, asa mirir vos kodesh. When Hashem brought the Torah, it says asa, he arrived, mirir vos kodesh. So the word asa, os, means when something arrives. When something arrives. So why are the letters of the Hebrew Aleph base called osios, from the word asa? It means that through the letters of the Aleph base, physical reality arrives. In other words, that which was hidden becomes visible. That's what an os means. Therefore, we find also that an os in Hebrew means a simen. A simen. Osi beinu beinechem, a sign, a symbol, a sign, a demarcation. A demarcation. A way to remember something. A way to remember something, a way to designate something. A way to designate something. It's very worthwhile to take a look at the introduction of the Ramban to the Torah. The introduction of the Ramban to the Torah is Yesod HaYesod, this very fundamental. If the Ramban chose to write that as an introduction to his Peirush and Chumash, you can understand that one's entire understanding of Chumash and Torah Bechlal depends on understanding that the Ramban. One of the most remarkable things that the Ramban writes over there that I'm sure some of you have heard of or you've seen, is the Ramban says, Od yesh biyadenu kabbalah shel emes. The Ramban says that I have in my hands, we've received the true tradition, a true Kabbalah, ki chol ha-Torah kula shmosev shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the entire Torah, from beginning to end, consists of the names of God. The entire Torah, the names of God. What does that mean? That means when we look at the way that the Torah is written, we see it already broken down into psukim, into verses and words. There's such a thing, as you know, that's called the Torah before creation. The Torah existed even before creation. Everybody's heard of that. The Torah existed before creation. How it existed, what that means, it obviously did not exist in the way that we see it now. So what is the Torah of creation? So the Ramban is telling us that the Torah is written like from the Beis of Bereishis until the Lamed at the end of Yisrael, the last letter, from the Beis to the Lamed. It was written like one ongoing, if you imagine, if we would take the Beis here and just go right across the street with it and keep on going until we get to Yisrael, whatever, it would take a few blocks. But in other words, without any psukim, without any words, and without any pages or any paragraphs, just straight letters of the entire Torah, Beis, Reish, Aleph, Sof, Shin, Yud, Sof, and so on, and until the very end of Yisrael. So the Ramban says that ongoing series of letters can be broken down perfectly into the into different names of Hashem. Names of Hashem, of course, that we're not familiar with from the teachings of Kabbalah, and even some of those names that have not yet been revealed in the teachings of Kabbalah. But it's an ongoing series of God's name. of God's names, continuous. That's why. You know, the question has been asked: if the Torah is written before the world was created, then it already said that Adam was going to sin. It already said that the Jews were going to worship the golden calf. So it's all there. So doesn't seem to be fair. If it's already written in the Torah, it's like the preview of things to come. That means it sounds like we were doomed, God forbid, that we were doomed to making these mistakes. Or if there were good things, that mean that it meant that we didn't have the choice to accept the Torah. We didn't have the choice to believe in Hashem or in Moshe Rabbeinu. So, once we learn this Ramban, we understand that the letters were written, the letters existed from the Beis until the Lamed, but how they were going to be broken down, in what order they were going to be broken down, depends upon human beings' free choice. That's why we say in davening, Asei imanu, or Asei imi, os letova, which means in a deeper level, Hashem, may I divide up the letters of my life in a good way. Because everybody has a certain Torah that was written for him or for her also, and everybody has a letter in the Torah. So when we say, I say imanu os letova, that may my letter be good, or my letters work out in a good way, it didn't have to say in the Torah that the Jewish people worship the golden calf. Had we done something different, had it worked out and it had been wonderful, then the same letters could have been broken down into different words. There are many, many svarim that deal with the way that, with different ways of breaking down words. The introduction of the Bnei Sosa to his famous Sefer Agudat Kala shows many, many ways that the first couple of words of Bereishis, the first word of Bereishis, could be broken down in many different ways, and how the first few verses could be understood in different ways by the breaking down of the words into different series of letters, groupings of letters. So the meaning of this is, When the Ramban reveals to us that the Torah is an ongoing, it's a continuous chain of names of Hashem, what he's saying is that when we look at the Torah, on a very superficial level, we just are able to look at that basic story that we see in the Torah. Really, beneath all of this are the Shemos HaKadoshim, the holy names of creation, and that all that exists in the world, of course, depends upon the energy of Hashem that's being infused into creation. So everything, when it says that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world, it means that Hashem, so to speak, gazed into his own self, into his own names. And the Torah is built, these letters of creation are the letters of Hashem's name, Mamish. The letters of Hashem's name are the letters of creation. Now, I want you to understand, I mean, you already do understand, but I want to be mechazik your understanding that letters are important not only in terms of the appearance of the letter, but everybody knows that the letters are also important in terms of the gematria, right? Whatever every letter equals, the numerological value of every letter, that an aleph is one and a bez is two and so on. That's also how the gematrias work out of different words. These are all things that are deeply, deeply significant in how Hashem built the world and how Hashem makes the world. That's why there were great and awesome tzaddikim, maybe there still are, who are able to look at the names of people and to see everything in the name of the person, and the tziruf in the combination and the gematrias and all these different things of the person's name. We see this already in Chazal, the shape of a letter. It's very important that the hay is shaped like this world, that you could fall out of the world, but you can climb back in. That's how the hay is shaped. In this one, that the hay, as I mentioned to you, is shaped like a fetus inside the mother's womb, and the aleph is shaped with a vav and two yuds. The shapes of the letters, the value of the letters, the names of the letter. Every single letter has a name. Beis means bayis, means a house. Gimel means to be gomel, to give. Or to wean, also, right? To be gomel means to wean. Dalet means poor, dal. Hey means to give something, hey. Hey means to give. Hey lochem zara. Hey loch ma'anya. Some people say holach ma'anya. There are those who say that the correct reading is hey loch ma'anya. But it means to present something, to give something is hey. Vav, what is a vav? There's a word in Hebrew, vav. A hook. Vavim lamudim. It's this. These are the parashas now. A vav means a hook. And the vav is shaped like a hook. And what does a vav do? It joins together two letters, two words, I mean, right? So a vav is a hook. It's shaped like a hook and it joins together words. Zion means clay, zion, which is ammunition, and so on and so forth. All the letters have meaning. Usually more than one meaning. For those of you that are interested in studying the letters on a very, very profound level, so I would advise you as soon as possible, before it goes out of printing again, to buy Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg is an extraordinary Talmud Chacham who wrote a book on the Aleph Beis. I advise you, if you really are interested in the Oasis, you should read Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's the Hebrew alphabet. It's in all the Svarim still, so it's like Ginsburg. It's Kedai, it's very Kedai. I don't have time to get into these things right now. The Rosh says, Rabbeinu Rosh says, Ki kol ha-chochma va-seich le-remuzim b'ksav ha-tar b'tzuras ha-osiyos, that all of the wisdom of the world, all of the wisdom of Torah is concealed in the shape, in the shapes of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Good. That's Aleph. Beis. It says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. There were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. In other words, twilight, that time that is not quite Friday and not quite Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos of creation. There were 10 things that were created. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. 10 things were created Erev Shabbos of creation. That Friday, that late Friday afternoon of creation. What we're interested in is, it says that one of the things that was created, there was haksav v'amichtav. The writing was created. The writing and the engraving, it actually means. The writing and the engraving. Now, what is the meaning of this, Mishnah? That the writing, meaning the means, it sounds like it means the writing of Torah, or a script, engraving. This was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, Friday of creation, at that time after candlelighting, before it was Laila, before night. So in order to understand this, we have to know what is the whole meaning of Ben Hashmashos. What does that mean, that time? Ben Hashmashos, Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos of creation. What does that mean? It's a famous Maharal. So the Maharal says, Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, Mitzad Shehu Ben Hashmashos, Shel Kedushu Yosef Ben Madrega Mishar Yemei HaTeva, She'enim Kol Kach Ben Madrega. The Maharal says that because the time of Ben Hashmashos, twilight, there's not a good translation in English, but that time when it's not quite day and not quite night, that time on Friday is already entering into the realm of holiness, right? It's already a little bit in the world of Shabbos. It's touching Shabbos. Therefore, the Maharal says that that time of Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos of creation, Friday at that time, is a time that already has departed from natural time, from the physical world. It's taken a turn away from physical reality. And yet, something had to be created at that time because it's not Shabbos. It's not yet Shabbos. And creation, of course, we know is continuing until Shabbos. So we have this funny time. It's this time that's not time. That something was created, something had to be created because it's still the time of creation. And yet, it's already Atat Shabbos. It's already Atat Shabbos. Shaharei Eino Shabbos Gomer. V'yev sheshiyah niver bo k'mo sheniver b'sheshish may b'reshish. But the Maharal says, but it couldn't be that the things that were created during the time of Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, it couldn't be that those things were the same, therefore, as things that were created during the 6 days of creation that are physical, that are entirely connected to physical reality. Shaharei Eino Yimeichol. Because it's not completely one of the days of the week. It's not completely chol. Lefichach, therefore, the Maharal says, Nivru be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos dvarim shehem. Therefore, during that time, now if you look back at that Mishnah and study it again in the fifth parak, sixth Mishnah of Avos, you'll have a lot of pleasure when you look at each of those things and try to figure out, for fun, over Shabbos, how does this all fit into the Maharal, unless you have the Maharal say for Derech Chaim, then you can just look it up. But if not, to try to understand how do all those 10 things fit exactly, perfectly, and so beautifully into the Maharal's definition. So the Maharal says, therefore, these things that were created are lamalim and hateva, are above nature, transcend physical reality, veinam tivium, kemosha nivru b'sheishisim yamayse. They are, in one respect, they are touching physical reality, but on the other hand, they transcend physical reality. Therefore, all of those things that were created at that amazing time of Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, twilight, After candlelighting of the Friday of creation, means those are things that are still created, but they're not quite completely in creation. And look at those things. There's no time to go through each of these things, but look at those things. So what was created then? Haksava Amichtav. The writing and the etching. The simple meaning of the writing and the etching has to do with the luchos, with the tablets that were going to be brought on Har Sinai. Now obviously the olive bays already somehow had existed because Hashem created the world with the olive bays, right? So the olive bays had to be there before that Friday. It was there from the beginning. It was there before the beginning. So Aksava Michtav is referring to letters that are going to be engraved. Is a reference to the Aseres HaDibros, to the luchos, to the tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to bring on Har Sinai. Now we already spent a lot of time talking about the Aseres HaDibros, right? Why they're called Dibros, from the word ledaber. And remember, let's just chazer a little bit, that the word dibur means to lead. Dabar means to direct and to lead. With the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem is going to begin to give clear instructions to the world how to behave, specifically to Am Yisrael, and how we are going to become the spokesman of all creation. And the deeper meaning of that is that now the Jewish people are going to be the ones whose responsibility it is to take all the Devarim, all the things of this world, and to be the Medabrim of the Devarim, to lead all Devarim back to attachment to Hashem, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reveal the purpose of all creation, to bring all creation up and back to Hashem. So that's what's happening with the Aseres HaDibros, the 10 Dibros. So the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael, in the 35th chapter of Tiferes Yisrael, so Maharal says the difference between the writing of the first Luchos and the second Luchos. You know that there are two editions of the Luchos, the first that were broken, and then the second Luchos in Parshas Yisro, and the Luchos in Parshas Veschanan. It's Shmos, and Shmos, and then later on in Devarim, there are two sets of Luchos, two sets of tablets. So the Maharal says the difference is that the first Luchos are Lefi Madregas Yisrael. The first Luchos are closer to the human level of the Jewish people. But the Jewish people, even as human beings, are different from the entire world, from all human beings of the world. They are transcendent, amazing. The Jewish people as human beings, but human beings who are superhuman beings, who transcend it to a certain degree physical reality. We're not the same as all of physical reality. We're not the same as other human beings. The Jewish people who are almost malachim. Whereas the second luchos, the second tablets after our avera, after the sin, after our failure, after the mess. So the second luchos, which come at the end of the Torah, are closer to the madrega of Olam Hazeh, of this physical world, of human beings. From superhuman beings to human beings. Let me explain. I mean, this is a very big subject. I'm just saying everything so much because just to get to our point. The early part of the Torah is closer to the one who's giving the Torah. The end of the Torah is closer to the one who's receiving the Torah. Right? You understand this? It's always like that. When you're beginning to explain something to a child, or you're a teacher and you're beginning to explain something, or you're explaining something to a friend, a difficult idea, whatever it might be, the words that you begin with are closer to you. The words that you conclude with are closer to the person who's receiving them. This is a very deep idea, and this is something which is true to anybody who thinks about it. The beginning of the Torah is closer to Hashem. The end of the Torah is closer to mankind, to the Jewish people as human beings. All the differences between the first Luchos and the second Luchos have to do with this distinction. That's what the Maharal explains in the 35th chapter. That's why there are certain differences between Zohar and Shamor, why it talks in one place. In the first Luchos it talks about keep Shabbos because I created heaven and earth, and in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. Whereas in the second Luchos, which are closer to Bnei Yisrael, as human beings, there it says, keep the Shabbos because I took you out of Egypt. Right? The first Luchos that are closer to the one who's giving them speaks about Shabbos and creation. Whereas the second Luchos, the second tablets, which are closer to the Mekablim, closer to us as physical human beings, to the ones who are receiving it, so the second Luchos tell us to keep Shabbos because you remember you were just in Egypt? You remember I took you out? I took you out of Egypt. Which, although creation is much more impressive, but Yetzias Mitzrayim was much more, practically, it was much more meaningful to us. Right? It meant much more to us. So, the first luchos are closer to the giver, to the nosein, and the second luchos are closer to the mekabel, to the one who's receiving them. If the entire book of Devarim, which is closer to the Jewish people, you know, it says by the rabbis that the Yid HaKadosh, the holy Jew from Peshischa, when he wanted to study Musar, when he wanted to strengthen himself, he used to read Sefer Devarim. But he said that Sefer Devarim, the last book of Chumash, is like Moshe Rabbeinu's mama standing here talking to us. The first books of Chumash, they're closer to Hashem. The final book of Chumash, that's why there's a very different style in the last book of Chumash, right? If you look at the last book of Chumash, it's a different style. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to appear as a human being, speaking as a human being, as opposed to just being Hashem's mouthpiece. In the earlier four books, it's Vayidaber Hashem L'Moshe Shalemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying the four books. Moshe's writing all that. He didn't say Vayidaber Hashem Eli. It says, and God spoke to Moshe. Right? It's like a spectator. He's just a mouthpiece of Hashem, because those are the first four books. The final book, which is Mamish already in the hands of the Jewish people, we're already receiving it, which is close to us as human beings. So the final book is already Moshe Rabbeinu begins to speak, and Vayomer Hashem Eli, and God told me. Tablets are somehow standing mysteriously between heaven and earth. Somehow. They stand, the luchos themselves, when it says the writing of the tablets we created Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes, and the Maral taught us that Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes means Friday twilight, means it's not quite human, not quite godly, right? That's what it means, Friday at that time. Friday at that time. It's not quite Shabbos, not quite Friday. It's not quite God, it's not quite human. There's something, it's a physical thing that is the transition from spirituality into that which is physical. You understand? It's that point where heaven and earth are kissing. It's that point where Shabbos and Friday are strangely mingled. The luchos, the tablets, particularly we're talking about the second ones, there's not enough time to go into this at length. The tablets are that strange physical thing that's filled with letters that, as you know, they stood miraculously. The letters stood on the luchos miraculously. That the luchos were the luchos were physical tablets, but with letters etched into them in the writing of God Himself, right? That's Belukim, with the writing of God. It's something which is aksav v'hamichtav, something that is created from the time of Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes, because it's something that is from God to man. It is the transition from God to man. Therefore, it is not quite physical and not completely spiritual. That's why it had to be created at that time of Friday before Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemoshes. Therefore, the letters that the osios, which mean, the letters mean the way of Hashem arriving in the world. Remember, an os means osa, it arrives. It's a way of carrying the spiritual into the physical. It's a chariot upon God, upon which God's will rides into the physical universe. Those are the osios. Those are the letters. That's why the Sfar made such a big deal. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh made such a big deal about just saying Tehillim, or saying Tefillas, even if you don't know what you're talking about. It's such an unbelievable big deal. Just to say the letters. Saying the letters themselves brings into the world all kinds of things. So the letters of the Luchos that are engraved in the Luchos are the connection between the Dvar Hashem, between the Ruchnis, between the spirituality. That's the Neshama. That's thought. That's the soul. If you were here from the beginning, then you understand why I'm referring to all this. That's Shemayim. The heavens. And physical reality and the world. Because the luchos themselves stand between Shemayim and Aretz. And remember, the goal of all creation is that which is spiritual, that which is Shemayim, that which is from the Neshama, should be drawn down into our physical lives, right? Should become part of our physical lives. That's the whole point of creation. And to lead all physical things back to the Creator. That the Neshama should pour into the Ruach and into the Nefesh until all things are fixed. That's what we spoke about, the mystery of the word Melech, King, which is Moach, the mind, lev, which is the heart, and kaved, which is the liver, which is the manifestation of these three levels of the mind, which is the neshama, which is heaven, of the heart, the lev, which is ruach, which is the spirit, which is the emotional realm, which stands between heaven and earth, and the kaved, which is the place of the nefesh, which is physical reality. So that's why we say in davening on Shabbos, Shnei luchos avonim horid biyado. Hashem brought down with his hand, and he put into Moshe Rabbeinu's hands the luchos. Shnei luchos avonim horid biyado. When the Torah is telling us that which was spiritual is now touching that which is physical, is described as horid biyado. Because when you're giving something to someone, that's how you give something to someone, right? Biyado, from hand to hand, miyad liyad. Now we understand when it says in the Gemara that when a person's life ends, the person comes to the next world, and the Malachim say, Ashrei misha bolakan v'talmudo biyado. How fortunate is the one who comes to this world, the world of truth, v'talmudo biyado, holding on to his Torah. V'talmudo biyado. The Maharsha says over there, the Maharsha explains, that's in the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Yud, he says a very interesting thing that applies even in secular things. He says, Ki ikra halimud shenasa baroshim hu halimud haba miksivas yad. Asha alkein nikra hachamim sofrim. The Maharsha explains, why are the sages of the Gemara called scribes? Everybody knows they're called sofrim, right? Why are they called scribes? Well, they were copying other writing, but the main thing is that they weren't writing. The main thing is that they were transmitting the oral law orally. So why are they called scribes? Their main job is not writing. So why are they called scribes? So the Maharsha says that the ikar halimud, the essential, the greatest way to learn something, is when a person writes it down. That's the way of learning. You see, you can have a certain thought. You can have a thought, but it's not yet clear. If you read a book, let's say you had to study something for school, and you read a book that's 500 pages long. Yeah, there are all different things in the book, and you have to know the contents of that book. If you've read the book of 500 pages, even once or twice, and you close it, and you walk into the exam, it's not so simple, yeah? It's not so simple. Even though you have nowadays people, I've looked at books that almost the entire book is highlighted. You ever see these? You open them, like the whole book is yellow. There are like two or three lines that haven't been highlighted. You know, it's hard to choose. Oh, this must be important, this must be important. So everybody's highlighting up their whole book, you know? Everybody knows everybody might know this, but it's just a question of sitting down doing the work, that it's much, much wiser when you read a book, to write on one or two pages, to write, when you're writing something, you remember it, you engrave it, it's mamish engraved. Because when you write something, it is leaving the spiritual world, the ethereal world above this world, and it is descending into physical reality. It's becoming part of physical reality. Therefore, to know something, the Maharsha is saying, when you write something down, it becomes part of the world. So the luchos are shnei luchos avonim hari biyado, in this, in your hand, you have it. Ashrei misha bolakan v'talmudo biyado. How wonderful is it, the person who is able to come to the world, v'talmudo, into the next world, and he's holding on to his Torah. In other words, he made it real in his life. It wasn't something which is ethereal and spiritual and distant. It was something mamish that he had in his life. It was written in his life. It was part of his life. That's why the sages are called sofrim, scribes, because they made the Torah so clear and beautiful that it was written before us. It was mamish inscribed. And now we understand the teaching of the Kohen from Lublin. Sab Tzadik says, "Mezeu ikum matan Torah liYisrael shi'anivla belibam." When it says in Chazal that Hashem desires the heart, Hashem more than anything, Hashem loves the heart, the Jewish heart. It says Rachman liba boy, Hashem asks of us to have heart. So Reb Tzadik explains, "V'zer ikum matan Torah liYisrael." The ikum matan Torah, the real giving of the Torah, the essential, primary giving of the Torah to the Jewish people means, and meant, and it still means. It would be good if if we could learn this way, and if our children could learn this way, she'a nivla belibam, that the teachings of Torah should be absorbed in the heart completely. Kamusha kosuv, as it's written, kosvam aluach libecha. When the Navi wants to tell us to really connect to the Torah, to make it something in your physical life that changes you, not just something you learned in school or in seminary in yeshiva and it was a nice idea, but to be able to mamish, that it should be engraved, that it should be real. In other words, that it should be, that it should carry you from the spiritual into the physical and to uplift your physical existence, because that's the whole point of letters, remember. Letters is the transition from the spiritual from the voice to the words, to actual physical existence. So what stands between this, the call, the sound, the spiritual, and the words that are already physical, articulated reality? What stands between? What is in that place that is called Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes? Of a person's consciousness. In other words, what's the Friday, late Friday afternoon of your consciousness? The Olive Beis. The letters. And when the Navi wanted to tell us, take these and bring them into your life. Take them away from being mysterious and spiritual and carry them into your everyday life. The Navi said in such a way, of kosvam aluach libecha, write them upon the tablets of your heart. That's what the Navi said. Write them upon the tablets of your heart. And it says that when Mashiach will come, v'alibam echtevena, when Mashiach will come, the Navi said, Hashem says, I will then write all of the Torah upon your hearts. In other words, it will be so real to you. It will be very, very real to you. This is Kabbalah Satara. That's what Kabbalah Satara means. That's what Kabbalah Satara means. Therefore, we find throughout Chazal, this is a very, very big subject, that we find throughout Chazal in Halacha and in Agadata, both in Halacha and in the non-Halachic sections of Chazal of Torah, that the human being, and particularly Talmud Chacham, the human being in the Talmud Chacham is compared to a Sefer Torah. It's Mamsha Sefer Torah. It says in Halacha, the din in Shulchan Aruch is, you know, we shouldn't know from any tzaros. Everybody knows that if, God forbid, a parent dies, then you have to erase kriya, you have to tear, and it's not allowed to be sewn back together, right? For another one who has died, when the tear is made, the tear could be sewn after the avelus, after the mourning. But God forbid for a parent, when the tear is made, it's ein misachin, it can't be sewn together. It has to remain torn. So the halacha, that's the Gemara is in white katna, daf chavav, the Gemara says that there are times besides the death of a parent, Chalila, where a tear has to be made, when one has to rise Kriya, and you're not allowed to sew it. And the Gemara says, Elokroim Shen Mesachin, these are the kind of tears that cannot be sewn together. And the Gemara concludes over there, Al Rabbo Shalim Do Torah, for a person whose Rebbe, God forbid, dies, Val Sefer Torah Shen Nisraf, and a Sefer Torah that was burnt. And the Gemara tells us in many places that there are foolish people who stand up when a Sefer Torah comes into a room, but they don't stand up for a Talmud Chacham, right? An old person who has forgotten his learning is compared by the Gemara to the Shiva Haluchos, to the tablets of Moshe Rabbeinu that were broken, that even though they were broken, they were still holy and were kept in the Ark. An old person who has forgotten his learning is compared to the Shiva Haluchos. So we understand, and we've been taught in many, many places, too many places to talk about, that the relationship between the letters and the tablets are the same relationship between the soul and the body. And when the neshama, when the soul of a Jew is still connected to the body, then it's like a Sefer Torah where the letters are still intact. Or the luchos where the letters are still engraved. When a person dies, there's a separation between the letters and the tablets, or the letters and the klaf and the parchment. That's the famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the horrible Gemara by Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyoin, with Sefer Torah, when he was being burnt alive, when he was being tortured by the Goyim. So it says in the Gemara, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyoin, it says in the Gemara that he was being burnt with Sefer Torah, he was wrapped in a Sefer Torah and was set on fire. So it says in the Gemara that they asked him, Ma'atarola, they asked Rabbi Hanina, what do you see? As he was dying, as he was being burned to death, they asked him, what do you see? And he said, Gvilun nisrafin va'osios parchos ba'avir. It's a very famous Gemara. I see parchment that's being burnt and letters flying into the heavens. I see parchment being burnt and letters ascending to heaven, flying. The meaning of that, of course, is even b'derech hapshat, because how else can one understand it? The meaning of that is, and he's saying, is that I see my body being destroyed, but my neshama is floating away. I see my physical life being destroyed, but my soul ascending to Shemaim. So the separation between the neshama and the guf, the separation between the soul and the body is compared to the separation between the letters of the Sefer Torah and the parchment, or the letters of the Luchos and the tablets. The letters and the tablets. So now that we already understand, I hope, a little bit of what the letters mean, is this beginning as that world between non-physical and physical reality, or the connection between that which is not physical and physical, the connecting link, the vav that joins together those two dimensions. So now we could turn to the Maharal's question and to try to understand his answer. The Maharal's question is, why do we have to speak when we daven? Hashem knows our thoughts. A lot of people have asked me this. Probably more people have thought about asking me and never asked me. Right? Or thought about asking you and never asked you. Maybe you thought about it. We're just afraid. So the difference between us and Hashem is that Hashem knows what we're thinking. We don't know what the other person is thinking. So the question the Maharal asks is, why is it in the second chapter of the Nesiv HaTfil, the Nesiv HaVoda, the Maharal asks, why do we have to say it? It's enough. The Maharal knows what's in the heart. You know, a lot of people, they always say that it's all in my heart, it's in my heart. So certainly Hashem knows what's in a person's heart, so why do we actually have to say the words? Once we understand why we have to say the words, then we'll have to understand why sometimes we have to scream the words, and why sometimes it's forbidden to scream, and one has to say them very quietly. But davening must always be with the words being articulated. There is such a thing as Hashem listens to the tefillos of the heart as well, and even the Maharal alludes to that. The students of Baal Shem Tov spoke more about it, and we saw at the very beginning from Rabbi Nachman said there's such a thing that a person has to know how to scream with his heart. There's a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov that a person has to be able to stand in a room without making a sound, that the mamish should be screaming. And Rabbi Nachman gave this whole exercise about how in your mind, to imagine yourself, if you can't scream in a certain place, you can't over there, so you should close your eyes and to picture yourself screaming those words, yelling those words, and inside your mind you should be screaming and yelling, and that Hashem counts it as if you're screaming and yelling. So the remarkable thing is that we have a scream that is not heard. We have to understand that. That there's this tradition from the Baal Shem Tov that there's such a thing as screaming without making a sound. Screaming without making a sound. Screaming to make noise, everybody can do. But to scream without making a sound is a big chachma. So the Maharal writes, let's just read this Maharal, I don't know if we'll have time to start explaining, let's just read the Maharal from the second chapter of the Nesiv HaVod. Let me read to you a few lines from the Maharal, and then we have to work on understanding this Maharal. If you've studied the Maharal's writings, you know that he had his own language, he had his own style, it's different from anything else. And it's hard to understand the Maharal. You have to read it sometimes 3, 4, 5 times. So if you have the Nesivos Olam, you can look at the Nesiv HaVoda, the second chapter, would be very, very kedai, because the whole chapter is about this. And I'm just going to take a piece of it and to try to work on it. The Maharal writes in the Nesiv HaVoda, Ki HaTfila Hi LaHashlem Es HaAdam Mashehu Chaser. The purpose of Tfila is to complete in man that which he is missing. To complete within the human being that which is chaser, that which he does not have, that which is lacking, which is missing. And then Hashem hears your tefillah and your request. Kasher ha'adam chaser, when the person admits and knows that he is lacking, he's deficient, he's missing. V'tzarech el hashlama, and he asks Hashem to please, I believe that only you can complete me. Only you can give me what I'm missing. That's what tefillah is about. The belief that only Hashem can ultimately be the one. I mean, he could send all kinds of messengers and doctors and this and that, but ultimately, it's only through Hashem's desire And Hashem's kindness that I can be completed, that what I need can be completed. The definition of a human being, what makes a human being human, is his ability to speak. The human being is a medaber. That's the definition of a human being, the one who can speak. He's a medaber. Without that, one is not a human being. Now, if you are asking, if you want something from Hashem, but you don't speak the words, you don't articulate what you want, then listen to this, ein kan mekabel. There is no human being then to receive what you've asked for. You have to present yourself as a human being in order to receive as a human being. After all, if you're thinking inside your heart that you want your friend to feel better, right, to have a refuah, so you don't want just Hashem to send something into the world of the neshamas that Hashem thinks of making your friend better. In other words, you want your friend to get, but you want those letters to materialize in the physical world, right? You want that refuah to come to the physical world. Therefore, you have to utter the words as a physical human being. If not, there's no makabel. There's nobody to receive. There's nobody to draw into this world, into the physical world, the physical blessing. Therefore, one must daven to Hashem, who is the cause of all things, b'dibu, with speech. Because now you are a human being who is missing something as a human being. So you present yourself as a human being and ask Hashem to complete me, to give me what I need as a human being. And that is only if you actually speak of what you're lacking or what someone else, what you're lacking, your friend is not well, that hurts you, right? You're lacking something. If there's anybody in the world that's, you're lacking that too. So you have to do that with speech. But if you only think of these things, then you have not actually revealed and brought into the universe your chisaron, your human chisaron. Because as a soul, you're not lacking anything. And God forbid somebody could be sitting in the hospital having an operation, and the neshama, they're not lacking anything. So you have to bring that out, mitzad shul chai medaber, as a human speaking being. Rakim hu tzadik gomor. Now this is an interesting thing. Rakim hu tzadik gomor hu sichli as Hashem Yisbarach shomea, af shekari al Hashem Yisbarach liba bavad. Only if you are a complete tzadik, who is absolutely, completely attached to the spiritual, will God listen to your spiritual request as well. In other words, if you function powerfully and really in a non-physical plane, in a non-physical world, then that will be your real request. But if you're like most of us, human beings, then it will only work as a human request. And the definition of a human request is a spoken request. Because the definition of tefillah is that the human being needs Hashem. He's lacking as a human being. And God created within us these deficiencies so that we should turn to Him and daven and speak to Him and learn and grow in faith that only He can fill that which is missing. And if I do that, I could change my mazel, I could change my life, I could change the life of other people, I can cause nature to change if I do that. Therefore, one must speak the tefillah. Because the definition of human beings is speaking being. And we have to stand, we have to place ourselves in the presence of Hashem as who we are. And we are human beings that speak. And we have to stand ourselves in front of the King as empty, broken, physical vessels. That's how we have to place ourselves before the King. As a neshama and a guf. A soul and a body. That's what a human being is. And the neshama, the formula that make, when you add a neshama to a guf, what do you get? Dibur, speech. That we spoke about a lot. When you put a neshama and a guf together, a soul and a body together, then you get speech. That's the definition of a man became a living soul. Targum translates Ruach Mamal, a speaking being. When the neshama was breathed into man, he became a speaking being. One that could speak. That's what it means. As we spoke about a great deal. Now, Mr. Shema, next week we're going to work on, we're going to develop this a little bit further to understand why is it that tefillah has to be spoken, to work on the Maharal's answer, and then to work on the vowels. Comments Pasach a little bit. What's the deeper meaning of the vowels, the nekudos, and the tamim, and the tunes, and the sounds, and how we put all this together to form tefillahs that Bezer Hashem should be answered, and we should be able to draw all the most wonderful brachas into the world.